Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Comprensión oral. Inglés. B1. Tarea 1. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
When I was very little, I mean, we all used to live, my father, his brother, in my grandmother's and my grandfather's house. And everybody was working, and the grandma used to cook for everyone, because everybody left in the morning, right, came back for lunch, they go back to work, and they come back home for social. I was always in the kitchen, and I loved my grandmother so much. She was a saint, that woman. My parents worked all the time. My mum used to be trained as a seamstress, but one of our uncles used to kind of renovate cars, second-hand cars, and she learned how to restitch upholstery. Sure. So she was doing all of that, and then at night she was doing, like, sewing her own clothes or mine. And everybody was working constantly. My dad used to be a mechanic in a way, but he learned how to paint cars. Then he had a job for the bus company in the day, and then in the evening he used to go to the garage to repair cars. So I really actually hardly saw them except at the weekend, and I spent all my time with my grandma. I wasn't really close to my dad because I hardly ever saw him, and the only thing we had in common, it was the love for dance. My father used to go out every Saturday night, all his life, till my mother died, ballroom dancing every Saturday night. His pride was his elegance, and he based himself on Fred Astaire, and they used to do Sunday dances as well.
Oh yes.
So they used to take me with them. I used to do the waltz on my mother's feet. You know,
Yes.
And then I used to do the jive with my mum. Those kind of things get ingrained within you.
Well, that's an incredible connection, isn't it?
The conflict of what I wanted to do and what my parents wanted me to do, which was major. I remember as a kid, I used to paint, I used to do collage, I used to sculpture, I used to design clothes, I used to sing. I did singing competitions, plays. I mean, anything but being an accountant, which was is my parents wanted me to be. And I really had a lot of angst and conflict. I was from another planet, totally disconnected at times. It's like I'm not in the right place, I'm not in the right time. It's like I think socially, once I kind of said, okay, I'm not going to let these bullies having the best of me, I very, very quickly, once I started to kind of not answer back, but use my brain and my sense of humor to kind of disarm them. And then I started to use my sense of humor, and then that's how the dances started in. I say, I'm going to make this disadvantage become an advantage.
What was your perspective on home when you went back?
I think in life, home is very much where you are, where you have the possibility or have the chances of living your life to the full. And when I actually felt very, very sad when I go back.
Because
there is a sense of a world gone by. I am the same, but I'm not the same. You know, when you live in these provincial towns, time seems to stand still. People do the same things. Going back is always a bit sad, especially because I've lost everyone. You know, there is nothing for me there anymore. You know, you feel that, and there's no point hanging on to it.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Ahora, escuche de nuevo la grabación.
When I was very little, I mean, we all used to live, my father, his brother, in my grandmother's and my grandfather's house. And everybody was working, and the grandma used to cook for everyone, because everybody left in the morning,
right,
came back for lunch, they go back to work, and they come back home for social. I was always in the kitchen, and I loved my grandmother so much. She was a saint, that woman. My parents worked all the time. My mum used to be trained as a seamstress, but one of our uncles used to kind of renovate cars, second-hand cars, and she learned how to restitch upholstery. Sure. So she was doing all of that, and then at night she was doing, like, sewing her own clothes or mine. And everybody was working constantly. My dad used to be a mechanic in a way, but he learned how to paint cars. Then he had a job for the bus company in the day, and then in the evening he used to go to the garage to repair cars. So I really actually hardly saw them except at the weekend, and I spent all my time with my grandma. I wasn't really close to my dad because I hardly ever saw him. And the only thing we had in common, it was the love for dance. My father used to go out every Saturday night, all his life, till my mother died, ballroom dancing. Every Saturday night, his pride was his elegance, and he based himself on Fred Astaire. And they used to do Sunday dances as well.
Oh, yes.
So they used to take me with them. I used to do the waltz on my mother's feet. You know,
Yes.
And then I used to do the jive with my mum. Those kind of things get ingrained within you.
Well, that's an incredible connection,
isn't it? It's incredible.
Isn't it?
The conflict of what I wanted to do and what my parents wanted me to do, which was major. I remember as a kid, I used to paint. I used to do collage. I used to sculpture. I used to design clothes. I used to sing. I did singing competitions, plays. I mean, anything but being an accountant, which what is my parents wanted me to be. And I really had a lot of angst and conflict. I was from another planet, totally disconnected at times. It's like I'm not in the right place, I'm not in the right time. It's like I think socially, once I kind of said, okay, I'm not going to let these bullies having the best of me, I very, very quickly, once I started to kind of not answer back, but use my brain and my sense of humor to kind of disarm them. And then I started to use my sense of humor, and then that's how the dances started in. I say, I'm going to make this disadvantage become an advantage.
What was your perspective on home when you went back?
Well, thinking in life, home is very much where you are, where you have the possibility or have the chances of living your life to the full. And when I actually felt very, very sad when I go back, because, there is a sense of a world gone by. I am the same, but I'm not the same. You know, when you live in these provincial towns, time seems to stand still. People do the same things. Going back is always a bit sad, especially because I've lost everyone. You know, there is nothing for me there anymore. You know, you feel that, and there's no point hanging on to it.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Ahora, escuche de nuevo la grabación.
When I was very little, I mean, we all used to live, my father, his brother, in my grandmother's and my grandfather's house. And everybody was working, and the grandma used to cook for everyone, because everybody left in the morning,
right.
Came back for lunch, they go back to work, and they come back home for social. I was always in the kitchen, and I loved my grandmother so much. She was a saint, that woman. My parents worked all the time. My mum used to be trained as a seamstress, but one of our uncles used to kind of renovate cars, second-hand cars, and she learned how to restitch upholstery. So she was doing all of that, and then at night she was doing, like, sewing her own clothes or mine. Okay. Everybody was working constantly. My dad used to be a mechanic in a way, but he learned how to paint cars. Then he had a job for the bus company in the day, and then in the evening he used to go to the garage to repair cars. So I really actually hardly saw them except at the weekend, and I spent all my time with my grandma. I wasn't really close to my dad because I hardly ever saw him. And the only thing we had in common, it was the love for dance. My father used to go out every Saturday night, all his life, till my mother died, ballroom dancing. Every Saturday night, his pride was his elegance, and he based himself on Fred Astaire. And they used to do Sunday dances as well.
Oh, yes.
So they used to take me with them. I used to do the waltz on my mother's feet. And then I used to do the jive with my mum. Those kind of things get ingrained within you.
Well, that's an incredible connection,
it's incredible,
isn't it?
The conflict of what I wanted to do and what my parents wanted me to do, which was major. So I remember as a kid, I used to paint. I used to do collage. I used to sculpture. I used to design clothes. I used to sing. I did singing competitions, plays. I mean, anything but being an accountant, which what is my parents wanted me to be. And I really had a lot of angst and conflict. I was from another planet, totally disconnected at times. It's like I'm not in the right place, I'm not in the right time. It's like I think socially, once I kind of said, okay, I'm not going to let these bullies having the best of me, I very, very quickly, once I started to kind of not answer back, but use my brain and my sense of humor to kind of disarm them. And then I started to use my sense of humor, and then that's how the dances started in. I say, I'm going to make this disadvantage become an advantage.
What was your perspective on home when you went back?
Well, it's thinking in life, home is very much where you are, where you have the possibility or have the chances of living your life to the full. And when I actually felt very, very sad when I go back, because there is a sense of a world gone by. I am the same, but I'm not the same. You know, when you live in these provincial towns, time seems to stand still. People do the same things. Going back is always a bit sad, especially because I've lost everyone. You know, there is nothing for me there anymore. You know, you feel that, and there's no point hanging on to it.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Singapore is an international financial hub and has racked up a number of global awards, including the easiest place to do business. Socially, Singapore leads all Asian nations on the UN's Human Development Index, gaining high marks on life expectancy, healthcare, and personal safety. Denmark is the smallest of the Scandinavian countries. It is a constitutional monarchy with a population of 5.7 million people. They enjoy a very high standard of living, but are also weighed down with one of the highest tax rates in the world. It has a high level of income equality and is the least corrupt country in the world. New Zealand is comprised of two islands located in the Southwest Pacific Ocean. Known for its natural beauty, New Zealand is a peaceful paradise. You may recognize it if you've watched any of the Lord of the Rings movies. New Zealand also ranks highly in many other statistics, including quality of life, healthcare, and economic freedom. Switzerland is known for the beautiful and majestic Alps. However, most of its 8 million inhabitants live in the plains below. The country has a long history of promoting peace worldwide. It is the home of the Red Cross, and the Swiss are also known for their staunch commitment to remain neutral in times of conflict, like during World War II. Canada is located in North America, and it is the second largest country in the world by total landmass. But despite its size, the Mounties do a good job of keeping everyone safe. They promote a just society and emphasize equality and inclusiveness for all its citizens. Multiculturalism also plays a big part in defining the country's cultural mosaic. Austria has a low population, however, tourism is rampant and makes up much of its economy. Its largest city is Vienna, which makes up 1.8 million of the country's 8.6 million total population. The country is extremely clean and well-maintained, and its landscapes and views are breathtaking. Finland is a Scandinavian country in Northern Europe and actually shares a border with Russia. Finland was one of the last countries to become industrialized, but when they did, they developed an advanced economy which resulted in one of the highest incomes per capita in the world. Norway is located in Northern Europe. It is a constitutional monarchy with a population of just over 5 million people. Thanks to an abundance of natural resources like gas and oil, Norwegians have the fourth highest income per capita in the world. Iceland is a Nordic island country with a population of almost 350,000 people. Iceland has a dualistic nature with geothermal hot springs covered by large glaciers. However, they have managed to harness this power, and as a result, the country is nearly completely powered by renewable energy.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Ahora, escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Singapore is an international financial hub and has racked up a number of global awards, including the easiest place to do business. Socially, Singapore leads all Asian nations on the UN's Human Development Index, gaining high marks on life expectancy, healthcare, and personal safety. Denmark is the smallest of the Scandinavian countries. It is a constitutional monarchy with a population of 5.7 million people. They enjoy a very high standard of living, but are also weighed down with one of the highest tax rates in the world. It has a high level of income equality and is the least corrupt country in the world. New Zealand is comprised of two islands located in the Southwest Pacific Ocean. Known for its natural beauty, New Zealand is a peaceful paradise. You may recognize it if you've watched any of the Lord of the Rings movies. New Zealand also ranks highly in many other statistics, including quality of life, healthcare, and economic freedom. Switzerland is known for the beautiful and majestic Alps. However, most of its 8 million inhabitants live in the plains below. The country has a long history of promoting peace worldwide. It is the home of the Red Cross, and the Swiss are also known for their staunch commitment to remain neutral in times of conflict, like during World War II. Canada is located in North America, and it is the second largest country in the world by total landmass. But despite its size, the Mounties do a good job of keeping everyone safe. They promote a just society and emphasize equality and inclusiveness for all its citizens. Multiculturalism also plays a big part in defining the country's cultural mosaic. Austria has a low population, however, tourism is rampant and makes up much of its economy. Its largest city is Vienna, which makes up 1.8 million of the country's 8.6 million total population. The country is extremely clean and well-maintained, and its landscapes and views are breathtaking. Finland is a Scandinavian country in Northern Europe and actually shares a border with Russia. Finland was one of the last countries to become industrialized, but when they did, they developed an advanced economy which resulted in one of the highest incomes per capita in the world. Norway is located in Northern Europe. It is a constitutional monarchy with a population of just over 5 million people. Thanks to an abundance of natural resources like gas and oil, Norwegians have the fourth highest income per capita in the world. Iceland is a Nordic island country with a population of almost 350,000 people. Iceland has a dualistic nature with geothermal hot springs covered by large glaciers. However, they have managed to harness this power, and as a result, the country is nearly completely powered by renewable energy.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Ahora, escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Singapore is an international financial hub and has racked up a number of global awards, including the easiest place to do business. Socially, Singapore leads all Asian nations on the UN's Human Development Index, gaining high marks on life expectancy, healthcare, and personal safety. Denmark is the smallest of the Scandinavian countries. It is a constitutional monarchy with a population of 5.7 million people. They enjoy a very high standard of living, but are also weighed down with one of the highest tax rates in the world. It has a high level of income equality and is the least corrupt country in the world. New Zealand is comprised of two islands located in the Southwest Pacific Ocean. Known for its natural beauty, New Zealand is a peaceful paradise. You may recognize it if you've watched any of the Lord of the Rings movies. New Zealand also ranks highly in many other statistics, including quality of life, healthcare, and economic freedom. Switzerland is known for the beautiful and majestic Alps. However, most of its 8 million inhabitants live in the plains below. The country has a long history of promoting peace worldwide. It is the home of the Red Cross, and the Swiss are also known for their staunch commitment to remain neutral in times of conflict, like during World War II. Canada is located in North America, and it is the second largest country in the world by total landmass. But despite its size, the Mounties do a good job of keeping everyone safe. They promote a just society and emphasize equality and inclusiveness for all its citizens. Multiculturalism also plays a big part in defining the country's cultural mosaic. Austria has a low population, however, tourism is rampant and makes up much of its economy. Its largest city is Vienna, which makes up 1.8 million of the country's 8.6 million total population. The country is extremely clean and well-maintained, and its landscapes and views are breathtaking. Finland is a Scandinavian country in Northern Europe and actually shares a border with Russia. Finland was one of the last countries to become industrialized, but when they did, they developed an advanced economy which resulted in one of the highest incomes per capita in the world. Norway is located in Northern Europe. It is a constitutional monarchy with a population of just over 5 million people. Thanks to an abundance of natural resources like gas and oil, Norwegians have the fourth highest income per capita in the world. Iceland is a Nordic island country with a population of almost 350,000 people. Iceland has a dualistic nature with geothermal hot springs covered by large glaciers. However, they have managed to harness this power, and as a result, the country is nearly completely powered by renewable energy.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2. Aquí acaba la prueba de comprensión oral. Por favor, siga las instrucciones del profesorado en su aula.